This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasolines. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now with your host, Rick Moore.
That's right, boys and girls. I am your host, Rick Moore. At least that was what they told me before bringing me inside, putting my headphones on, and telling me to start talking. Today is July 6th. That's right. Happy birthday, America. And before we go much further, I want to take a moment and thank Michael Strickland. Michael has been the programmer for this show for quite some time now, and today this is his last before, I don't know, what's he doing? Going away to college or something? New York University? I don't know why they would, why that sounds any better than what he's doing here every Sunday. But for some reason, Michael Strickland leaving us today. Maybe he'll come back and visit us on holiday times. Anyway, thank you, Michael, for all the fun we've had trying to figure out the buttons around this keyboard. We are doing a show today that is not just about Michael and his many funny efforts here at WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. We will be talking, remember last week we did personal finances with Karen Bonding from the UVA McIntyre School. Today we're going to do personal finances part two, kind of. I was going to talk about real estate with Jim Duncan, a local realtor. Jim, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well myself. Thank you very much. I had a lovely weekend. I spent a lot of time down in Lovingston this weekend. Lovingston's 94.7. You know, they have a really, really hot blonde girl down there. I managed to find her and spend a lot of time with her.
Well done.
Again, July 6th here on the Wake Up Call. We are going to be talking personal finances in regards to real estate with Jim Duncan. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN Rocks. We have lots of folks hanging around with us today. We have Michael Strickland on his last time. We have Deepak. We have Sean, who are training to share the new grand title of producer here for this program. And Lazarus is with us, the lovely yet quiet plot hound, my hound dog, who went disappearing this week. He took a 5-day vacation up in the woods of Nelson County, but somehow found his way home after we went hiking after him and driving around the county thinking, oh, so many bad things that might have happened. And he just comes strolling back to the farm about 6 in the morning, waking us up with all the other dogs barking. But anyway, so Lazarus is here as well. Feel free to call us up throughout the program today. Ask your questions in regard to personal finance and real estate as Jim Duncan is our special guest. All right. Jim, let's get started right away with something that probably we could spend the whole hour on by itself with such an open-ended question. The current housing market. Tell me a little bit about sort of a national scene, and then bring it to a closer, reply here about the Central Virginia folks.
Tough question, very broad. Nationally, the market seems to be well, let me back up. It's hard for me to discuss the national market because every market is local. When you look at the hot spots like California and Phoenix and a lot in Florida and some of the places that have been really, really hard hit, it's important to notice that those are different from our market. I think that there remains a lot of fear in the national and local market, and I think that generally my prediction has been that we're looking at 9 to 18 months perhaps until we are able to really see the bottom of whatever this market is. And backing that up, I think that we're not going to know where the bottom is or was until we have the benefit of maybe 18, 24 months of hindsight. So I think locally the market is perhaps stabilizing. I think that the building permits have slowed down perhaps significantly, and people are recognizing, a lot of them, that now is a really, really good time to buy. But I think that also for some people, it's important to look beyond the fear of what happens if, and look at what the intrinsic value of owning a home.
How many homes are on the on the sale market now compared to what was on the market before? Because you've been on the show, I don't know, I want to say half dozen times now.
Right.
Going back into when houses lasted less than 30 days.
Right. I think that it's important to note that when I do my marketing statistics, I look at year over year. So, you know, March to March 08 to 07. And I don't like the month-to-month statistics, but if I look at what I have up right now, in Charlottesville, Albemarle, Fluvanna, Nelson, and Green, there are right now about 2,600 homes currently on the market. And, you know, put it in perspective, June of 05, about 1,300 were on the market. So significantly more. But also contrast that with the fact that things are actively selling. When I did my last marketing report, one of the key things that I put forth was that I think 50% of the homes that were under contract as of the time of my writing, 50% of those were on the market for under 60 days, which means that 50% of the sellers out there are now recognizing that they have to price their houses appropriately and look at the competition much, much more stringently than they ever did. Contrast that with the hot market, when people would price their homes based on what they wanted to get. And, you know, they were for the most part, were getting those numbers.
All right. You mentioned it's a great time to buy a home due to the number of homes available, just due to the market.
Right.
How do you evaluate the market to determine, you know, whether it's right for you as a family, as a person?
You look at your goals, first and foremost. And if I were to say it's a great time to buy, generally, I think that, you know, people would lambast me, rightfully so. It's a great time to buy for those for whom it's right to buy.
How do you say this and people who are listening not go, well, sure, he's a real estate guy. I mean, he needs people to buy this for him to take home money.
Absolutely. Listen, I mean, I think that I have the benefit of having written for almost 4 years on my site that, so I have the track record of saying that it's a right time to buy for some, but not all. I mean,
By the way, toss out that site information.
RealCentralVA.com.
Real, like,
as in real.
Real estate central.
Correct. VA.com. And actually, it's also kind of fun. I can now say Google Jim Duncan, and I come up first and second. So I've beaten out the weatherman in Richmond now. I think that with my clients, the first thing I go with is how long do they plan on staying in a house? It used to be that you could stay in a house for 12 or 18 months and sell and you know, not lose money and for the most part make money. But also when I say it used to be, taking into the fact that I've only been in the market, you know, I've only been a realtor for 7 years, so I consider myself a newbie. In a lot of ways.
How long? 7 years?
Seven. This is my first, frankly, down market. And there are a lot of realtors out there who have seen one, two, three, four down markets. So, you know, I do consider myself new because of this new market transition. But I look at how my buyers, how long do they plan to stay in a house? You know, if they plan to stay in it for 18 months, you know, generally I'd probably advise them to rent. And I've told many, many people this year that I think they should rent. For those who want to be there for 3 to 5 years, you know, then we can have a more serious conversation about whether now is the right time to buy.
But what numbers do you look at? I mean, we're talking about how to evaluate the market. Aside from the person's need or, let's not talk for a minute about, because the newspaper says it's a good time to buy, or because the guy I heard on the radio says it's a good time to buy. What does the family, the couple, the individual, what particular numbers do they look at to say, yes, this works for me?
A lot of it it goes back to how long they plan to be in the house, but also it's a matter of whether you could rent the same house for the same amount or less. because there are more costs that are associated with owning
a house.
What
does that have to do with anything? The length of time you have to be in the house?
Because generally you look at, and I'll harken back to my mother, who's been doing real estate for well over 20 years. It used to be the rule of thumb was that if you stayed in a house for 3 to 5 years and sold and you didn't lose money, then you'd done well. So I think that we are seeing a trend back to that, where we need to look at housing as being a valuable asset, not just from an investment standpoint, but more so from an intrinsic standpoint, where you are going to enjoy living there. So we need to shift the buyers and sellers mentalities away from looking at specifically at the rate of return, but also the value of being able to paint the walls whatever color you want, or put holes in walls and not have to tell the landlord, or things like that.
But how do you do that? I mean, there's TV shows about, what's it called, Flip That House.
Right.
And other things. That seems to be the current culture. And maybe those programs are behind where the numbers are today. By the way, we're talking with Jim Duncan, a local realtor, about personal finances in terms of real estate. Because, as I think we all know, for the most part, TV shows, TV programs don't come on the air until months or even longer after the time that they were prepared and they were filmed.
I think that they are behind a little bit. I mean, I generally don't watch HGTV that much, but I think there are a couple shows out there also that are now depicting the horror stories that come along with trying to flip and not being prepared. Of the people who bought a house for $150 and thought they could sell it for $2.25 after doing $10,000 worth of work, and it turns out that they do $100,000 worth of work and still can't flip that house for what they needed to make. So I think that TV's catching up, but you look at what the buyer's goals are, what they can comfortably financially afford for that mortgage payment, but also for the associated cost, homeowners insurance and taxes and things of that nature. So it's not a simple answer. I would love for it to be. I would love to be able to say everybody buy a house right now. But I think that it's important to note that buying a house is a really an important decision, and one that takes a lot more thought right now than perhaps used to 5 years ago. Because four or five years ago, people were able to buy a house without much consideration, without even giving many documents to the loan officer, and they could say my income is X, and people would believe them, because there was much less risk then as there is now.
Feel free to dial us up and ask your question, make your comments, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. That's for the people who need the toll-free number, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, 979-0919. Or maybe you're sitting around the house on your computer today. Send us an IM message, WNRN Studio, and I'll do my best to read that over the air without hurting my neck. 11:13 on the wake-up call here at WNRN. Jim Duncan here with us today in the studio. So many people talk about things, it's just uncomfortable for them now, because despite what you say, despite what the newspapers say, they're just uncomfortable following the words that everyone else says. Oh, it's so low, the opportunity. I heard someone saying on I don't know if it was at a gathering of people, I think it might have been an NPR program, where Mr. Pickett, isn't he one of the wealthiest guys, Owen Pickett? Is that
T-Bone.
His T-Bone Pickett?
Yeah.
And he says, when TVs are on sale, when clothes are on sale, when everything else is on sale, we buy as much of it as we can. But when houses go on sale, whoa, wait a minute, we got a problem.
Right.
So the difference between buying property and buying TVs and clothes that are on sale, explain that to me and to some of the other listeners.
Well, buying a house is a long-term commitment. I mean, most mortgages are amortized over 30 years. So it's something that needs to be a decision that needs to be arrived at after serious consideration. It's not a flippant decision, going to buy a pair of jeans or going to buy you know, groceries actually is becoming more of a consideration for those who are looking at anything right now. People are considering the price of groceries and gas and milk, et cetera. And that is something that's impacting people's mentalities as well. I think that again, it goes back to the fact that there is a lot of fear in the market. But I'm finding that buyers are, at least the ones that I trend to get in touch with, my buyers tend to be more educated on the market and less prone to accepting the headlines and the fearful headlines. So they're reading more into it. But I think that, again, it goes back to, as much as I hate saying it, but the fear, uncertainty, and doubt for those who just read the headlines is more prevalent. So, it's a matter of what I tell my buyers to do is to educate themselves as much as possible so they know the fundamentals and they know what goes into a transaction. And also that it's a long-term decision and not an 18-month, 12-month decision that it used to be.
Doesn't that make it a bad time to sell? I mean, if it's a good time to buy, doesn't that make the other end of the transaction a bad time to be involved in?
The first time I was on your show, you asked me a number of questions, and my answer to all of them was started off with, it depends. And it really depends. It depends on when you bought the house. If you bought the house 15, 20 years ago, you know, and you don't have a second or third mortgage on the house, and you don't have a home equity line, and you're able to price it according to what the market says rather than what you need to make, it can be a great time to sell. But if you bought in the last 12, 18 months, 24 months, it could be quite challenging to sell your house for what you need to make. And I think that that's a mistake or a misconception that a lot of people have is that they are 100% of the time going to be able to sell their house and make money or at least make enough to pay off the mortgage. So it might be a good time to sell, depending on your situation. But it goes back to, I think one of the things we were discussing before is pricing your house according to what the market says. You know, what you need to make on your house does not make the market value.
Is our area, the Central Virginia area, and the growing number of homes that are out there waiting to be purchased, is this based on, are those homes more on people who need to sell them because of the turnover in the university, because of, or other needs where these number of people need to leave town?
It depends. I mean, it's hard to make a broad determination.
How about the ones that you represent?
A lot of the ones that not to speak for my clients and breach that confidentiality. Most of the ones that I'm selling that I'm marketing right now are selling because of, you know, life happens is the sort of the broad term that I use. They're selling, I've told people before that if they're selling because they want to sell or they have, you know, a certain inclination to see what they might make, sure, then they should probably take it off the market. So the ones, you know, I think there'd be a safe determination to say that those that I'm marketing right now are selling because they need to. But again, I've advised people, you know, a couple times this year that if not to put their house on the market just because I don't think that it would do anybody any good.
All right, 11:18 here on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Showers and thunderstorms likely today. Highs 80 to 85. Little cooler in the valley. Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows 65 to 70. Then partly sunny with the chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon tomorrow. Highs 85 to 90. Right now it's clouds across the listening area. 71 in the valley, 73 in Lynchburg, 75 in Richmond, 71 here in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And today's programming on WNRN also being brought to you with the support of Blue Ridge Graphics. You can find them at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom T-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. Feel free to dial us up and ask Jim a question. Make your comments about personal finance and the real estate area. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, or maybe you're online, WNRN-STUDIO is how you can get through to us. Here's a question from someone who didn't want to come on air. Jim, during the housing, the madness, says, I overpaid for my house about 2.5 years ago. Do I have any recourse? There are well water, insulation, plumbing, and other issues that were covered by as is only. I hope the seller is miserable and suffers.
it's a hard situation. I don't know. I mean, it's first thing I would say is if you can, fix them. Fix the problems that have come up. And, it depends on, it's hard to make the generalization. I mean, you overpaid. How do you determine that you overpaid to the one next door sell for $50,000 less last month? It's very difficult to say. But I would say that, if you can, pay the mortgage and stick it out. And if you can, enjoy living there and fix the problems that are there. And then when the time is right, then you need to look about, possibly selling. But I certainly do understand. And
what if it's someone who doesn't want to sell? Someone who's, they bought the property not because it was at a good price, or certainly maybe they at the time they knew that with the market it was at a good price. And if this caller, again, they gave me this ahead of time, or if someone similar to this situation is where you knew you were overpaying, or where you were, it was, 2.5 years ago, where there were much, much fewer options.
Right.
They want to stay there, but they know that they overpaid for it, or they feel that they overpaid for it.
It's a hard situation. I mean, I would say that, if they overpaid for it, again, it might sound callous, but looking at today's market, whether they overpaid for it 2.5 years ago, it's not particularly relevant to what market value is today, other than to their own feelings of having overpaid. I think that it's a situation that a lot of people might be in. But looking at the stuff that was, whether it was, did the question say it was covered or covered up by the seller? Sorry.
Let's see. Overpaid for my house 2.5 years ago. Do I have any recourse? There are well water, insulation, plumbing, and other issues that were covered by as is only. So I'm assuming that's somewhere on the legal documents that were
generally generally residential property in the Commonwealth is covered by an as is statement where the seller disclaims all knowledge of problems with the house, but it does not absolve them of it does not give them license to be fraudulent or to deliberately and specifically cover up problems. So again, maybe talk to an attorney and see if it's possible you can prove something that was covered up. It also asks you whether they had a home inspection. Did they have a competent home inspector who was able to go in and give them the ability to do their research and due diligence? I mean, I think that's something that I can honestly say I've been able to talk every one of my clients into having a home inspection. Because during the hot market, people would come from other areas, Northern Virginia, Boston, California, and say, I really want this house, and it's a competitive offer situation. I'll just forego the home inspection. And frankly, that's probably about the best $300 to $400 you will ever spend is on a home inspection that looks at the systems of the house.
979-0919, 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Toll free 1-877 WNRN Rocks. Local folks 979-0919 and WNRN Studio. If you want to send us a question through the internet. Jim Duncan here talking about personal finances in a real estate manner. Talk about legal issues for a moment, Jim. The home inspection. I don't think it's and I don't even mean to imply that it's the majority of people, but a lot of people would say, well, the home inspector, who's paying for him to do that job?
Well, in that case, the buyer. I mean, the home inspector's client is the buyer, and so they're supposed to to do the digging and the prodding as much as they legally can to find problems that they're able to determine in the house. So again, it's the standard Virginia Association of Realtors home inspection contingency is pretty strong, and it gives the buyer the ability to have an inspection, whatever other structural or environmental inspections that they want, and will allow them to use that as a negotiating point.
Can the people selling the home use that to turn you away? Say, look, if you're gonna put us off for 3 or 4 days, so that you can have this guy come in, then I'm not gonna.
They absolutely can. In this market, more than any other, I think that they would be stupid and have poor representation if they were allowed to do that. Generally looking at 5 to 10 days from contract to have a home inspection done. It's very, very wise use of money and time.
All right. We got a caller on line two. Hey, caller, who are you?
Hi, I'm Jennifer.
Hey, Jennifer. Questions, comments?
I'm trying to move to Charlottesville.
Well, good.
I've got a house that's already paid for. All I got to do is get rid of that house and move to Charlottesville.
That's a great situation to be in today.
So, do you have a question? Or are you looking for Jim to be your representative?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a question, or are you looking for Jim to be your realtor at buying a new place?
I'm trying to figure out how would I buy a place in Charlottesville. I've been looking online, and I've found some things that I thought were fairly interesting, but it looks like the way the market's going, it looks like most everybody, in order to afford a house there, lives way outside of the central area. And is that normal now? Is Crozet a hot and coming area?
Great question. I hit on a lot of topics. I'll hit the Crozet part first. I'm biased because I live in Crozet, but I think that that people are generally, and I wrote a story quite some time ago about how I think that the Charlottesville-Albemarle area is being divided into subregions. So generally anywhere that has,
We're going to hang up. Can you listen on your radio?
Sure.
All right. Thanks for calling in with the question.
Okay.
We good?
Fire away.
All right. By my definition, I think that we are having, we have several subregions within the Charlottesville-Albemarle area. Anywhere that has a grocery store and a coffee shop, pretty much, in my opinion, is a self-sustaining region. So, yes, Crozet is absolutely booming right now in a lot of ways. We still have a fair amount of inventory that needs to be burned through, but I think that it is from someone who lives there point of view, it's a great place to live. But we're also seeing that people are choosing less and less to live on the outskirts. And I don't think Crozet is the outskirts necessarily. I think that Lovingston and Northwest Greene County and things of that area are more outskirts. But we're finding more and more that buyers are choosing to live as close as possible to work or other places that they need or want to be close to because of gas prices. And I had one of my listings last week, I received feedback from the buyer's agent saying that they had decided to buy in town as opposed to where my listing is, specifically because of gas, not just the price it is today, but also the fear that it's going to go from $4 to $5, $6, $7, $8 in the next couple of years. And they're taking that long-term point of view of what am I going to do in 5 years when I want to sell and gas is $10 a gallon.
We chatted about that a little bit. What is that doing? I mean, you mentioned that specific home, but what is it doing to the market of Central Virginia market in general? Is there a greater percentage of homes still on the market in Flavanna, in Nelson, in Greene, than there are in Albemarle and Charlottesville that you might attribute this to?
Great question.
And I guess by my question, I mean, if there's normally 10% of homes on the market at one time in Albemarle, are you finding that it's 5% now, while instead of being 10% in Nelson and Greene and Flavanna, now it's 15 or 20%?
Great question, and I'm going to say I don't know. but I'll write a story about it this week or next, answering that question. Because I say I don't know because without having the data in front of me, I don't want to give inaccurate information. But I think that the general trend that I'm witnessing is that buyers are choosing to live close to stuff. And homes that are close to, you know, stuff, coffee shops, grocery stores, things that they can walk or bike to, is, in my opinion, in 5 years, is going to be perhaps a better investment than those that are not close to stuff. So again, you know, it going back to Jennifer's question, you buy a house, you know, if you are familiar with the area, you know, it might be the right time for you to buy. But I think that if you are not very familiar with the Charlottesville area, one thing I tell a lot of my clients to do is that if they're in that situation, to rent for 3 to 6 months and find out what you want to be close to, because a lot of times the things that you see and read on the internet may not be, you know, reality once you get on the ground.
Yeah, but then you have to move twice.
You know, if you move twice and you're happier in the second place than you would have been in the first, I think that's probably a good decision. And I've moved twice before, and there's nothing fun about it. I say from personal experience, it's no fun. But it's absolutely worth it if it ends up being the right decision.
11:31 here on the Wake Up Call with Jim Duncan, local realtor, as we talk about personal finances in terms of real estate. 979-0919, 1-877-967-6762. That's the toll-free line. Maybe you live in Fluvanna or Nelson or Green. That's 1-877-WNRN Rocks and WNRN Studio for those folks listening to us online. Let's take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support today. You can get your outdoor sandals from them as well as gear for summer travel, including shorts, duffel bags, and cool sun hats. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barrack Show Shopping Center here in Charlottesville and at BRMS.com. All right, here's one that came in online, and this is where I have to, like, lean over and try to make it sound right, so bear with me. What do you think of low money offers for houses that have been on the market for 6 or more months? Is there a percentage lower that you would recommend to your buyer to make? Do you know of buyers successfully doing this? And this is similar to something we were talking about earlier, which is, how much should a seller lower their price when they've been on the market for a while? And I think I mentioned it to you. If you go through, and The Hook is one of our sponsors, underwriters for this program, and they have a regular feature as part of their paper where they show a home that's on sale and things with it. Well, they also have a regular feature that shows, hey, here's a house we showed earlier, and what is it now? Did it sell? What did it sell for? You know, what's going on? And the one that's in this week's newspaper, the house that was currently or previously for sale at almost $700,000, like $680 or something, is still on sale. It hasn't sold. Still on the market for like $570,000. That's a big cut.
And I'll say now that to answer the question of what percentage under do you offer, and it depends really and truly. I mean, it depends on what, you know, whether the house is, you know, what the other houses on the street are selling for. You know, if the house has been on the market for a year and it's been at the same price, you know, for a year, and stuff on the same street selling for $350,000, and this one's asking $500,000. You know, you might ask, you know, look to offer around the $350,000 range or below. But there's no way that I can say with, you know, with the honesty or confidence that 10% is the right number to offer under.
But at what point does the seller start to look at, and okay, and I realize it depends, but at what point does the seller start to consider, you know, gosh, and let's say that they don't have to worry about selling it immediately because they're moving, but they've put something on the market, they are considering selling their house and looking at property elsewhere here in town. At what point do you say, you do it after 3 months, you do it after 6 months, you do it after 12 months, and what percentage do you start dropping your selling price?
I am a fan of doing significant price drops. It sounds weird, but I think if you have a $400,000 house, reducing it by $3,000 probably isn't going to bring that punch that you're looking for.
Doesn't capture the attention.
Exactly, and I think there's also a psychological barrier as well. If you have a $400,000 house, dropping to $397,000 is going to capture the same buyers who were looking before. But if you drop it to $374,900 or something under the $375,000 price range, it's a psychological barrier for buyers who are searching online.
Are you thinking because you can go into the online market and you tell it, you know, and those things are set up for $25,000 breaks
exactly.
in the Google, the look?
Exactly. So, I mean, I think that, you know, generally, again, you know, depending on what the situation is, I like to advise my sellers to do significant price drops, you know, quickly rather than, you know, small incremental ones over a long period of time. One condo that I had on the market two and a half years ago, we dropped it by, I think, $15,000 or $19,000 immediately after it didn't sell it, you know, in three months. While we watched the other ones that were around it, our competition kept dropping, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $1,500, and ours sold before those other ones did, because as Michael and I decided, we wanted to beat the market down rather than chase it. So, you know, from a buyer standpoint, look at the data. Look at what a lot of the active properties are doing. You know, again, if you have 10 houses on a street and they're all $300,000, and you're going to put your house in the market to be the 11th, I'd probably tell you to put on at 280 or 275. So, you know, you have to look at what the competition is and what 10 houses is that buyer going to look at on any given day, and frankly come in underneath that.
All right, Jim Duncan here, local area realtor. Who are you working for? Are you still working for
Century 21? Right there, right where the Krispy Kreme used to be, right next to it.
The more interesting part is Real Virginia.
RealCentralVA.com.
RealCentralVA.com, an incredible blog, lots of information. And that's just it. When you go there, at least in my perspective, and I'm not looking to buy a home, and I've never bought a home from Jim Duncan, but I find it to be an interesting blog because it comes across to me as being informative, not as, hey, come check out, you know, my homes that I have for sale. And that's why I think it's an interesting place for everyone who's interested in the market, whether because you're looking to sell, or just because this is a topic that interests you. We did get a call from James in Crozet, who had a question for you, Jim. How are realtors doing in this market? What is the fallout for realtors?
Significant. I think that, let me pull up I wrote a story, my market inventory update a couple weeks ago. In 07, from January through the end of May, 158 realtors had more than five sides, which is either a buyer or a seller transaction. And in 08, from January through the end of May, 74 have had more than five sides. You know, generally, you see that about 30% of the licensed and active realtors in the Realtor Association, they don't do anything year over year. But I think that my prediction is probably that we're gonna see, you know, 10 to 20% reduction in ranks next year. And frankly, in my opinion, that's probably a good thing for the industry, because, and I've written this many times before, I think that those who treat this profession as a hobby are doing a disservice to their clients and to their fellow realtors. I think that, you know, in any boom and bust, not that we're in a bust, but any boom, like you look at the dot-com, when everybody saw that the dot-com boom was the place to be, everybody flooded into it. And once it was not a boom anymore, they flooded out. And I think that we're going to see that. But I think that it's crucial to work with somebody who treats it as a profession, who depends on it, who doesn't have, in my opinion, doesn't have a part-time job. Although I'm hearing anecdotally, a lot of realtors are doing that. But I think it's also a lot of people, not just realtors in this economy, are pulling second jobs to make ends meet. So going back to your question, I think that we're going to see a reduction next year. Of course, I was predicting a 10% reduction this past year, but also didn't think that we were going to be in this cycle for as long as we have been.
Jason from Crozet, thanks for the call. 11:39 here on the wake-up call. Jim Duncan, talking about real estate and your personal finances. Feel free to call us up, ask your question, make your comment. You can be like Jason and just leave a call, and I'll be glad to read it for you. You don't have to come on air. You can be anonymous, or feel free to come on and put your voice out here. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, or like that question a little earlier, WNRN-Studio will do it as well.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markets of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, the softball teams that have used McIntyre Park's fields for years are facing a crisis. The reconfiguration of the space to allow for soccer, lacrosse, and more looks to be uprooting the softball players. With money being tight, is Charlottesville city manager overspending? Some say yes. With consideration for the new reservoir plan, rebricking the downtown mall, and the YMCA project? And are minority employees being unfairly fired at a local business? The Hook, wishing America a belated happy birthday. And additional support today also coming from 45fix.com. If you have a home improvement project, there is another way to find a contractor. It's 45fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate, no obligation estimates, available anytime. That's 45fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. And I know you're not going anywhere, because at noon, Drew Thompson strolls in for Les Temps Perdue. If French isn't your thing around here, that's The Time's Gone By. And on WNRN, late 80s and 90s alternative, tune in for it at noon. Les Temps Perdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. All right, back with Jim Duncan here in the studio talking about real estate and your personal finances that has to go with it. Jim, I went down to the beach to be with my, be all with my nephews and parents for a couple days. And one of the things I noticed was the house that they had rented was right on the corner, so four homes. Only two of them were rented on what I would assume to have been one of the busiest weeks of the year. You know, it's the week of the 4th of July. Seems like a real beach week. And so it got me thinking about, is this the next fallout in the rental market? Because don't people, and not everyone, there's certainly people with plenty of money to buy a beach home that they only use for themselves, but don't most people buy the beach home and then rent it so that they can at least get the mortgage paid for, and then there are other finances that go with that, because somebody, you're paying a commission to some rental company to do all that, which includes cleaning it week after week, and some other things. This particular house, even though it was on the beach, had a small pool. Somebody has to come in and take care of the pool. Somebody's paying for the trash service, etc. And if your place isn't even being rented on one of the busiest weeks of the whole year,
it's a great time to be somebody who wants to rent one of those houses. You know, so I think that, you know, when we've gone to the beach personally, we've been able, in the last couple of years, we've been able to negotiate fairly well up front. And a lot of times we've gone in, you know, made our reservations the week before to catch one of those.
Again, good time to be the buyer or
exactly.
The renter. But what about the people who own the house? Is, you know, if you're not getting the money on one of the busiest weeks of the summer, then it almost translates to me anyway, and maybe it's incorrect mathematics, that you're not getting the rental money that you would expect for the rest of the year during June and August, when you would think that at least 3 months, and certainly people go down in May and go down in September, but if you're not making the money during these times that you need to cover the other months, so to translate into a 12-month time period, are we going to be looking at rental homes and those owners collapsing come winter and spring, much like we have had some of these other issues with these subprime lending rates in the last year or so?
I think, again, you know, with the beach market not being my forte, I think it's reasonable to expect that those who don't have tenants for that week are probably losing money. So from my perspective, I would hope that they had planned accordingly and that they had not purchased it in the last 12 or 18 months. Now, for those who, you know, who have owned those houses for quite some time, I would, you know, project and assume that they have probably prepared more appropriately than those who have bought in the last 36 months.
But does that qualify? Can you copy that information into being someone who rents here in this town? Or maybe this isn't the best town because with it being a university, so university-based, that you do so from year to year. But some of our other towns, some of the other areas in Central Virginia where you can rent a home or an apartment for 3 months or 6 months, and so you have a much larger percentage of them available than you might otherwise hope for?
I think so. I mean, there are a couple of developments where I have actually advised clients to rent rather than buy. For example, one, you know, 2 years ago, it would have been about a $2,000 mortgage for him, and he was a short-time tenant, for lack of a better term. And I told him to rent because you could rent the same place for $1,100 or I think it was actually $900 a month. So I think that there are probably a fair number of properties yet out there in the Charlottesville-Albemarle region that are owned by investors who are looking to recapture anything. And I think that another thing that, you know, that bleeds into that is that one of the things that I look at when I do my market analyses for my clients is the number of withdrawn properties. It's challenging to track. I have to do it manually. But I look at the number of properties that have come on the market and then those that have been withdrawn, and I try to match up the withdrawn properties to the ones that were placed as rentals. And you're seeing more and more of that as the sellers are recognizing that now is not the time for them to be selling their house, and renting it even for a loss is much better than just having a vacant property that is, frankly, deteriorating perhaps while there's nobody occupying it. So, yeah, I mean, I think that and also the vacancy rate of properties that are on the market in our region is generally between 27 and 33%. And that's been a fairly consistent number since I started tracking it about 3.5 years ago. So, again, it's renting for a loss is better than not renting at all or selling for a significant loss, which is something that a lot of sellers are looking at now as well, is whether if they sell it today and they're looking at a $30,000, $50,000 loss, would it be better to rent for a loss and then sell in 5 to 7 years? So a lot of factors go into that conversation.
11:47 on the wake-up call. Jim Duncan here talking about area real estate and personal finances that go with that. Dial us up, 979-0919. Michael Strickland's last day here as producer for the wake-up call. Call up. Wish him a good future as he runs off to New York University. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS is the toll-free line. You were talking about getting some of your money back, you know, better to rent at some rather than at nothing.
Right.
What about all the homes, or let me rephrase that because that's always bothered me. What about some of the former apartments here in the Charlottesville area that have become townhomes, although in my mind all they really did was, you know, paint them and put in a new bathtub? And people who are new to the area said, oh, I'll stay at the, I'm not going to pick on one. I'll stay at the Southwest, you know,
place.
Garth Road.
Place.
Right. And I'll buy that nice townhome.
Well, I think that, again, they were indicative of a couple of things. One, the first couple rounds of buyers there really did benefit from new affordable inventory coming on the market. So if you were able to buy in the first one or two rounds of purchase, it probably was a very, very smart purchase because you still don't have that many homes under $200,000 in our area that are, you know, frankly, livable. I mean, I was looking for clients the other day and for stuff that they wanted that was relatively close in, they responded to my email saying, anguish. because it's just not that livable. So looking at those specific condo conversions, I think that for a lot of people they were good, but I think that for a lot of people also, you know, looking at it now with the benefit of hindsight, with the properties not appreciating at, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20% rates, those who bought in the later rounds likely are hurting because they're probably unable to sell for, you know, what they hoped or expected or needed to sell.
All right. Again, another I like getting these stuff by internet, but it's more difficult for me to read. I've read on several real estate blogs that Charlottesville is a protected market. So the prices, high prices, are justified. Given the current number of homes on the market, do you think Charlottesville is really protected? Sorry, my eyesight is horrendous.
It's kind of funny watching you move back and forth.
I know.
The argument is traditionally been made that Charlottesville is fairly protected, and I think that on some terms, we absolutely are. You look at the amount of construction that the university is doing. You look at the research parks. You look at the really good jobs. You look at National Ground Intelligence Center coming to the market, bringing in additional like 1,200 jobs, plus all the trailing spouses and the ancillary service jobs that are going to accompany it. We have a lot of good things happening here, and we absolutely are protected to a degree. But I think that, you know, a lot of people will tend to rest on that as a statement of we are recession proof, and, you know, and we're really not. I mean, despite the fact that we do have a lot of good jobs and a lot of good growth happening here, we are, you know, more protected than some of our competing regions, but not 100%. I think that the university is the sort of the bulwark for our economy, and that's, you know, for better or worse, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
But it's not a firewall.
It's not. It is a barrier, though. I mean, you look at I think they've got, you know, $500 million worth of construction underway at any given time. You look at the South Lawn project, and the thing is just massive. So, and a lot of the people who are moving into the area, professors and such, are looking to move into the city, and because they want to be close to stuff, and they want to, you know, be able to walk and bike places, and they're looking for, you know, really sustainable solutions for their, for how they're going to live. So again, I think that we are protected to a certain degree, but not, you know, by any stretch, but are we 100% protected?
All right, 11:52 here in the Wake Up Call. If you got a question or comment about our area, real estate and personal finances involved with that, feel free to call us up. 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS, as we wind down our time with Michael Strickland. All right. Someone pointed out to me the other day that they had, as they were driving around town, someone who spends much of their time driving throughout the Charlottesville, Albemarle County, that the variety of new homes that they were seeing being built seemed to be or had some issue regarding green. The green aspect rather than what we went through, like, and it's easy to pick on Crozet, but the Crozet issue of the McMansions, as people call them. Is one selling better than the other? Is that actually true that the green homes have overcome the McMansions, which are, you know, 5 feet apart and have no trees?
I think anecdotally, again, you know, without having the data fresh, you know, I'm going to sort of parry that question. But in reality, you know, again, from my limited worldview, I'm finding that more of my clients are looking for green homes because they are actually looking at how much utilities cost. And I wrote in a story a while ago, you know, with Virginia Power increasing their prices 20%, water going up, you know, 15% or something like that, and the cost of gas, people are actually paying attention to what utility costs are month to month. And I'm finding that a lot of my clients are saying the 4,000, 5,000 square foot home really isn't in their best interest, long or short term. And they're looking at, you know, 16, 17, 18, 2,200 square feet is sort of the sweet spot, because I'm finding that more people are looking at that, you know, that one room, the kitchen living room area, is where they spend the bulk of their time. So I would say that absolutely people are more than ever, they are considering green homes. They're asking smart questions about, you know, R value and insulation and, you know, caulking open gaps and what type of construction is being done. And I think that there's a, again, there's a real trend towards, you know, earthcraft and green homes and solar water heaters and things of that nature. So I think that, you know, I would like to think that we're at a tipping point to a certain degree, and I'm seeing that, you know, just from, you know, anecdotal evidence as well, more people on bikes. And I think that that trends into the fact that they want to, you know, they are living and working closer to where their homes are, and now we actually have a couple, you know, green developments in the, you know, the urban ring that are options for people. So, I mean, the short answer is I think green homes are absolutely becoming more of a mainstream movement and a common thing in the inventory market.
Are they on the market for a shorter period of time? Are there enough of them on the market that you could answer that?
There are, but I without having the data, I don't want to say they're on the market for a shorter period of time. I would say that in a lot of ways they are more marketable today, and in projecting forward 5 to 7 years, I think that they will be more marketable in 5 to 7 years than those that are not green today. Because again, you look at fuel prices today versus, you know, 5 years. I think if you're able to say, well, my monthly utility bills are X, and that X is significantly lower than the competition that's not green, then I think that absolutely it's going to be better positioned for resale than non-green homes.
Because you can, I don't know, can you go online to find out what somebody's monthly electric bill was, or what's the method for that?
You ask. I think in some markets you can go online, you know, not here, I don't think, but, you know, go to virginiapower.com and punch in an address and find out what their utility bills are. But I think that, you know, you ask the seller, and I try and get my clients when I'm marketing homes to put that information into a PDF that we have online so people can educate themselves before they get in contact with me. So again, it's just sort of a part of the grander, you know, movement towards people looking at how much it costs to live in a home. And I think that's a very, very good development.
I'm curious how the tax purpose in Albemarle County. There have been some recent Board of Supervisors meetings where they ended up, and you confirm my probably incorrect information, where the real estate tax stayed the same. Is that correct?
I think it went up by a penny in Albemarle County.
But they made another change that actually
the assessments
made
were,
that more of a cost?
Well, the assessments went down, again, not for all properties, but generally a lot of the homes, their assessed values dropped, and the county raised the mill rate, I think, by a penny. I'm probably wrong. But it was, again, I think that it was as much a symbolic thing of the supervisors choosing to increase tax rates, you know, when we're in a downturn in the economy, as it was them, you know, demonstrating that the surpluses they've had for the last 5 years have not been saved, in my opinion.
All right, 11:57 on the wake-up call. You are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. Just the last minute or two with Jim Duncan as we talk about personal finances with the area realtor. Your blog again, sir?
RealCentralVA.com.
RealCentralVA.com. I'd like to, you know, you to go out with, on a positive note, if possible, with this question, is that there are a lot of people out there, and this goes back to the question, I guess, about the person who overpaid for their house 2.5 years ago or feels that they did. Owners who feel that the home is not worth the mortgage, or at least that's the current issue, is the bank says, well, you owe me $200,000 or $250,000, but the, you know, they just got the assessment for $180,000. What do you tell that person to what to do?
Well,
and how to view things?
First, I'll say that one minor correction is I think that the assessment is wholly irrelevant to market value. So those using assessment to look at market value are looking at the wrong data. For those whose house is worth 180 and they owe 200, you know, it's a hard decision. You know, I would hope that if they have to sell, they're able to come up with a difference. But there are options, you know, short sales where they negotiate with the lender to pay less, you know, deed in lieu of foreclosure. And there are definitely options. I think that if you're in that situation, get the right sort of advice. And I think Piedmont Housing is one of the best places to go to ask those questions of people who are, you know, intelligent and competent and qualified and used to answering those questions commonly. But again, if it's worth 180 and you owe 200 and you do not have to sell, don't sell. You know, just wait. If you can, wait it out, because you know, all real estate is cyclical, and you know, believe it or not, this too will turn. And you know, we'll be able to look back in a number of years and say, "Wow, that was an awful period of our economy. Glad we're not there now." So I think that you know, it's important to realize that we will come out of it, and you know, it might be sooner than we expect.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate you coming in on what for many is a holiday weekend.
Thanks, Rick.
But I guess a realtor, it's truly never a day off.
I've heard of holidays. You know, they're rumors to me.
Drew Thompson up next with Les Temps-Perdue. We'll be back next Sunday as well, because Sundays are never holidays for the Wake Up Call. Adios.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasolines, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@aol.com or at wnrn.org. The wake-up call is produced by Michael Strickland. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11.